Good morning. Oh, it's getting better, getting better. Let's try one more. Good morning. Woohoo. Well, there's some noise over there. I don't know what that was, but that, we'll take it. That's good. Let's talk about three things Jesus did to make relationships work. When I talk about that, I talk about it in the sense that he got involved with people who weren't very good with relationships because they had not really been close to God for a long time. When we isolate ourselves from God, it begins to mess with our skills and ability, character, things that keep us from being able to relate to people in a healthy manner. I remember in the 80s, any of you remember the 80s? Who was alive during the 80s? Were you just barely? Just barely? How many of you remember the 80s? Yeah, so you don't. I remember in the 80s I went to a conference. I've been to a lot of conferences over the years, but I went to a leadership conference on the coast, and there were three messages by three different pastors that were great. There were three different leaders. One of them was by Jerry Fry. I don't know if you remember Jerry Fry. Nobody knows Jerry Fry. Roy Hicks Jr. How many know Roy Hicks Jr.? And another guy by the name of Campbell McAlpine. And Campbell has passed away. Roy Hicks Jr. was killed in an airplane crash. Foursquare pastor. And actually Jerry Fry is still alive but has Alzheimer's. And so those guys, that they were seasoned, I guess, at that age, you know. And the fact that they're not here, they were guys that had some experience. They were from different denominations and different movements, but yet they were connected together. And it was a great time. But they gave three messages. Jerry Fry gave a message on provision. If God is going to call you, if he's going to give you vision, he's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. You can trust him. Roy Hicks Jr. gave one on doing what you see your father doing. Jesus did that. And Campbell we had around quite a bit. Actually, Campbell's been here. He spoke in this. Not when we were here, not when we pastored, but years ago. Campbell spoke on not seeking a reputation, having no reputation. And all three of those things were game changers. I don't remember very many conferences, but I remember that one years and years and years ago and how it impacted me as a young guy. It was in the 80s. We got married in 78. You were 12. It was before birth we got married. That sounds hard. But anyway, we were in our 20s, and that was an impacting time. And really what was communicated to me through that process, when I've reflected back over it over the years and think about it over the years, one of those watershed moments is all three of those messages were really about how you entirely give your life to Jesus and allow him to transform you. And even though it may be a struggle against your own will, you learn to trust him and give you input, and that shapes your life. And if we don't do that, then it puts us in a mode of being not connected to God, not being having God as our focus, but having self as our focus. And when we have self as our focus, then we end up having a lot of relationship problems. Matter of fact, I would go to say, this is no statistic, but my experience of over the years now of being involved in ministry since I was 17 years old, 61 this summer, that almost all the relationship problems that I run into are because people are selfish. Think about it. They want something the other person won't give, or they are trying to get something and use someone to get it, or whatever. It's always really boils down to being self-focused. Saw an article today while we're sitting here with our summer sparse crowd already, but I saw an article this morning on one of the leadership emails I get that says, has the church been taken over by success-seeking leaders? You know, sometimes I feel that way, is that the church, the gospel, it's all about our own success, either as a leader or what can I get Jesus to do for me? I've got these plans, these things I want. I need him to make me feel good. I need him to provide these resources. By the way, let me tell you about the jet I need for the gospel. It's easy to get judgmental. I don't know what people need. I don't know. I'm not going to pull the trigger. I got a lot of stuff I don't need. And I can just remember chatting with Graham Kerr. How many remember Graham Kerr? I'm really bringing back all the old guys today. Graham Kerr was the Galloping Gourmet. Remember the Galloping Gourmet? He was our neighbor in Tacoma for a while. Robin wouldn't have him over for dinner. I don't know why. He was a YWAM leader, but he said, you know, it's only by the grace of God that you have a $20 bill to go to a movie, you know. And now I think now it's probably a $100 bill to go to a movie and get a piece of pie, but I don't know, I haven't been to a movie in a long time. Anything we have, it's just by that grace of God. What are our pursuits? And in this process of learning to deal with messy, having encounters with Jesus and each other and all that kind of stuff, what are some things that Jesus did? What three things? These aren't just the only three things, but these are three things based on these messages this guy gave at this conference. What three things make our relationships work smoother? Well, the common denominator is all three of these things mean turning our selfishness over to Jesus, becoming Christ-focused, letting him setting our priorities. And I mentioned this first one, provision. If God calls you to him, he calls you to be a follower of him. If he calls you to go do something for him, which he has, he's called you to be something for him, he's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave to us, right? He's going to provide for us. Jesus trusted and gave. That's a model that we can have. So, but we get more concerned about what do we have? What is my identity? Who makes me feel good? What actions make me feel secure? What stuff do I want? What stuff do I have to have? Could all of your stuff go away? Could you be the rich young ruler making the right decision? If Jesus said, leave everything and follow me, could you do that? Those are good questions. It's that challenge of, are you willing to trust God for whatever it is that identifies you and resources you, takes care of you, feeds you, on and on and on. And this scripture kind of is a two-dimensional one, but are you willing to be in that place that all you need is Christ? See, in that sense. It's not saying he's going to impoverish you, but he is saying, what are you going to trust in? What are you going to work for? If you have to have X amount of money, then you will make that a god. You can make that a god. So what are you going to do? You'll be unethical. You'll take advantage of people. You'll be selfish. You'll be, right? Do you see what I'm saying? If that is your focus, is your own self. If God is your focus, if God is the knowledge of provision, you know, provision, the knowledge of where your things are coming from and the source of it and all that kind of stuff, then we can trust him. Things can come in and out of our lives. We can love people. We don't have to fight for people over stuff. How many fights, how much drama goes on in families Well, partly because people love drama, I think. I think there's a lot of drama because people love drama. But how much drama goes on because they said, they did this, they disrespected me, on and on and on, made me feel bad. They, got $100 from this and didn't give me my share. That kind of stuff. Well, where does it all really come from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from His hand. And when we choose to trust Jesus for all these things like provision and identity and purpose and all that stuff, it eliminates a whole bunch of problems between our relationships with other people. Because we're not fighting over meaningless stuff. How much stuff are you fighting over that is meaningless? Now let's take it to the next level. What did Jesus do? Well, He trusted first, right? He trusted God. We have scriptures that say things like, "Not my will, but yours, Father," right? When it was time for Him to die a physical death and suffer, right? Be tortured, humiliated. But in that same act, He gave. Can you not only trust, but can you give? Can you pour into the lives of other people? John Dawson would say, do you have a holy ambition for other people? Do you have a holy ambition for other people? Are you willing to sow identity, purpose, resources, love, grace into the lives of other people? So Jesus trusted and He gave. Now, to me, that one's pretty challenging. But how many problems, if you really sat down and think about it, how many relationship problems could you eliminate if you simply trusted and gave? If you simply trusted and gave. What if you made it your goal that during your life you were going to become the nicest person in the room? That you were going to die the nicest person in the room eventually? Here's a question for you. How have you decided to live your life knowing that you are going to die? What are you going to invest that in? Yourself? Or are you going to invest it in God? Are you going to trust Him and give? Or are you going to scrap for every little bit of identity and provision that you can pull in your own strength to the cost of relationships, to the cost of husband after husband, wife after wife, friend after friend, job after job, church after church, whatever it is. See? Trust and give. Second one, Jesus lived and acted as His Father asked Him to. Jesus lived and acted as His Father asked Him to. Robin said, why don't you write down obey? Why don't you just use obey instead of this long sentence? Well, I have a purpose for this sentence. There's a meaning here. He lived and acted. His life, His everyday life and His actions were the things that God asked Him to do. No matter where you go, what you're doing at work, there are things that God asks you to do. Some of them are extraordinary for a specific moment in time to reach someone. Some of them are just being a person who represents the glory of God in a very positive and loving way to other people. Being polite. Being polite is something God could ask us to do. See? John 15:19-20 said, Jesus gave him this answer to a question earlier, and I'm not going to break that down. He says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. Now this is Jesus, a part of the Trinity. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. This is why we want to have a revelation of the Father. This is why we want to seek God. This is why we want to know God, because this is in the process of this that gives us a statement: hear God and do it. See God and do it is maybe even a better thing. You know, when we know God, when we expose ourselves to God, when we read about God, when we read the Bible, when we fellowship with one another, we learn stuff about God. It begins to shape our character and develop our humility in a way that we know how we at least should be acting and what we should be doing to reflect His glory. And we're not left alone to do this in our own strength. There is the presence of the Holy Spirit. God's presence is in us when we submit to Him, when we give ourselves to Him to animate us and help us. But the process for us has to be that we choose to listen and see. I can only do what I see my Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. There are all kinds of incredible things that God wants to show you that are going to shape your life and change the way you relate with people. If you want to have good relationships with God and people, well, you need to take time to cultivate first that relationship with God. That's why I encourage you to take time to sit down and reflect and read and listen, however it is. That's why I tell you to stop doing stuff for a while and be together. And, you know, even if you think I'm a bad preacher, and I'm not as good as the guys on the radio, that's for sure. But or whoever we listen to now, podcast. But the reality of it is that the reason we come together here is to say there's nothing more important than stopping everything we do for God. Stopping everything we do, comma, for God. We stop work. We stop entertaining ourselves. We stop worrying. We stop and say, God, You are God. You are the one who is above all things, and You direct everything that is in me. And I want to see what You're doing so I will know what to do. So I will know how to interact. So my actions and the way I live my life will be based on what You are when I see You. See? Otherwise, what's the alternative? It's based on what You want. What would happen if you got everything you wanted? What would happen if every influence that came through your life and through your soul got fulfilled? You would be destroyed faster than we are destroying ourselves now. See? So if we don't see God and do what He does, then we're left to do what we feel like we should do the way we feel like we should do it. That's destructive. See? Does that make sense to you? Are you hearing me? You okay with this? We do lots of stuff in our lives. John mentioned that earlier. And there's a difference between being important. There's a difference between that and being available for God to do something important for Him. So many times we do things to make ourselves important and valuable instead of knowing that we're, first of all, valuable with God. And we will fight other people, we will use other people in the name of Jesus. We will do all kinds of things because at the core of our fallenness is this weak identity and understanding of our value. We will do all kinds of things to other people to become important, instead of waiting to see God and hear what is important. Our value needs to be from Christ, from our Father, and the only way we can get that is by seeing Him. So Jesus lives and acts as His Father has asked Him to. Jesus wasn't too excited about dying on the cross. Matter of fact, it was a huge sacrifice, like I said a few weeks ago, for Him to even walk the planet amongst us. It was a long way from the glorious nature of who they were in the Trinity for him to come reach us. See? He's not just someone here to fulfill our dreams and our wants. He is someone for us to follow and serve and let our lives be transformed. The last one, Jesus cared more for his Father's glory and for other people than he cared for himself. And I'm jumping out of John into Philippians for this one. Paul writes to the church, Philippian church, in chapter 2, it says, in your relationship with one another, have this same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have this mindset, it says, who being in very nature God, he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He didn't come down and leverage his godliness to get what he wanted. Matter of fact, he gave it up. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names. The King James version of this that Campbell preached from said that Jesus made himself of no reputation. What does that mean? It means that he didn't care whether he got a reputation, and he didn't care if he was given a reputation. He didn't care. He didn't need one. He didn't need to make himself valuable. He didn't need to do all the things to make himself worthwhile. And he also didn't worry if people didn't think he wasn't worthwhile. He did what he was supposed to do. How much do we do so that we will have a reputation? Jesus was more concerned, go back to this sentence, was more concerned about glorifying his Father and not himself. Jesus was not a self-promoter. Jesus stood up and said, look at my Father. If you see me, matter of fact, if you see me, I want you to see the Father. And Paul said that. Follow me as I follow Christ. If you see me, Paul said that in human flesh. If you see me, I want you to see Christ, who is promoting the glory of God. Those are fantastic examples. Now, those are difficult things to do, because we live in a self-promoting world. We live in a world that says, if you don't do these things, you're not valuable. We tell our kids that. We fight this all the time. Christian people that follow Jesus, we're using all this terminology that says, follow Jesus, but we want you to do all this stuff that makes you valuable in the world today. To be successful, to be made known. We send this conflicting message to one another. We go hear big name Christian speakers because they're important. Speak about why they shouldn't be important, maybe. We worship success. We get jealous of other people's success. The biggest challenge to a relationship is usually when one of the people in the relationship succeeds, hits something, receives something big, the other person can struggle with that. Jesus was more concerned about the Father's glory than he was his own glory. And he was more concerned about other people. What needed to happen so these other people could get set free from the bondage that they were in, from the torturous hell that they were headed for. It was more important for him to do what he needed to do and be humiliated to set them free. His father and others were more important than himself. We need to really spend time seeing God's presence, really seeing who He is, and pursue Him so that we really understand what it means to be content in Christ and serve Him only. See? Now, you got three ways to apply these. Well, there's a couple of ways. A couple of ways to apply these three things. One of them is you can just go home and forget all about it and say, thank God that's over, because I want to go work in the yard. You can say, well, here's three steps to make me happier in my friendships and marriages and with my kids. Or you can recognize that these three things are really just three examples that say, if you seek God, if you give your life wholehearted to God, then the byproduct of that, one of the byproducts of that, is your relationships are going to change. Because your relationship with God changes, you see. And this will be uncomfortable. This will be messy. Following Jesus, I can't promise you're going to get rich. You're not going to get sick. I can't promise you're going to, never have a failed relationship, all that kind of stuff. But I can promise you will always have a stable God to seek, who will always be with you no matter what, that will never change, no matter what changes around you. So I'd encourage you to just take these three points and ask yourself, okay, Lord, what do I need to do to be a giver and to trust you? See, when we give of ourselves, we give of our money, we give of our time, when we stop for God on a regular basis, all we're doing is disciplining ourselves so that our inert, selfish desires get trained. So that we're saying, okay, God, I'm going to follow you instead of just what I want. That's a road to self-destruction. I challenge you to do some disciplines again just for a few minutes a day, even to start with. Stop and see what your Father's doing. If you got a difficult situation in work or school or in your relationship, stop. God, what should we do here? What are you doing here? How should I respond to this? Chances are it's going to be all about sacrifice and grace on your part. And then do it. And then what do you care about? Is it mostly you? Do you care mostly about you and you're hoping Jesus is going to come through for you, make you feel good and give you the stuff? Make your life great? Or do you really care about revealing the glory of God? And do you really care about the people that have been put in your life, as annoying as they probably are? See, those are tough questions. And if you answer, oh, I got all this stuff down, this is, especially that last one, if you say, oh, no, I really care about God, that's then you're lying to yourself. If you're not struggling, especially with this third one a little bit, then there's something wrong. When I'm reading the Bible in the morning, I am more than not challenged with my own selfishness, always, probably on a daily basis. And that always, there's two responses you could take in that. One of them is like, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to read the Bible. I knew a guy that said that. I don't read the Bible. It makes me feel bad. But what what it does when I read and I discover that is it really makes me appreciate grace. All I can say is, well, God, I am not nailing this. Man, I'm in deep trouble. And without you, Jesus, that's going to keep me out of the kingdom of God. You know, and I want to be in the kingdom of God, and I want to reflect the kingdom of God, and I don't want to hurt people. I want to have this thing working so that I can give grace to other people and encourage them that they could see the glory of God. So it's a process. It's a challenging process. But it's mostly about getting our eyes off of self and on God. Amen? Hear God and do it. See God and do it. Trust Him for our provision. And don't worry about your reputation, whether you have one or whether you get one. Okay? Let's stand up. Just take a minute, close your eyes, and ask yourself. I'm going to say this and take it in context. These aren't necessarily mutually exclusive terms, but ask yourself, am I worried about my own personal success? Or am I worried about the success of God's glory and the success of people finding Him that need to find Him?
And the success of
is it me or God that's the most important thing in my life? And this is one of those things where you can say, God, I believe, help me in my unbelief, like the demon-possessed son. We can say, God, I want that, but I don't know how to do it. Father, I pray that you would just help us now by the power of the Holy Spirit to know the success of revealing your glory and trusting you for everything, God, and making you the focal point of our lives, making our actions be the representation of your glory. Lord, we pray that you would enter into our personal lives, God, and change the relationships that we have. But first of all, through our own personal humility and brokenness before you in a way that allows us to glorify you and make you number one. God, I pray you'd just forgive us for all our shortcomings. Lord, I know that in this room there are so many things you desire to release through people. God, I pray for all of the things that you have intended to come into existence through the lives of these folks that are here, God. I pray that they would come about. God, as you draw these people into alignment with you and focus upon you, that the things that you have promised, their family lines that you've called them into would be set free now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we speak against the schemes of Satan that want to distract and confuse and cause it to not happen, Lord. Lord, I pray for windfall. I pray for blessing. God, I pray for the fullness of the kingdom of God to be released, Lord Jesus, in every aspect of their lives, God. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.